coming to you from Castle Rock, Colorado. This is the DCF Podcast with Joshua Hammerly and Josh Barton.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the DCF Podcast. I am your host, Josh Hammerly, along with my partner,
Josh Barton.
And we are here to walk you through everything that is DCF that you ever wanted to know. And we are joined in studio today by the one and only special guest, Mr. Bubs. I don't know your last name, Bubs.
Barrera.
Barrera. It's like a Beretta. Bubs Beretta. But yeah, he is the gunsmith and trainer over at DCF, and he does fantastic work. He's done custom work for me. But before we get to him, it is time for our store update. Mr. Barton, what is going on over at DCF these days?
Oh, man. I got dunked last weekend.
I know. I personally did that twice. Thank you.
I know. We had one of our customers, Jerry, in particular. Thank you, Jerry.
How much did he donate?
What did he buy? 12, I think. So 20 bucks. 12? And out of those 12 shots, I think he dunked me 6.
50% rate. Good. Yeah. It's because you looked nice and warm during that whole session. It was a beautiful 70 degrees out that day, and you were only shivering a little bit.
Yeah, a beautiful 70 degrees and maybe a 20 degree water. I mean, it was, you know, it was right at that freezing point, you know, where it feels like icicles and needles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were wearing shorts and it, you know, you obviously work a lot on your legs. And it was amazing. Your physique is like,
well, I appreciate that. You know, it makes me feel better now. I don't feel so bad about getting dunked.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm getting good positive reinforcement. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I gave a couple bucks myself, dunked you a few times, and it felt good, you know, to finally see you get all. Wait, I shouldn't say that. But it was fun to watch you get dunked.
Just admit it. You like seeing me wet. But
I wanted to say it, but this is a family podcast. So
it is, and my son dunked me too, so he liked to see me wet well as well. So, I mean, you know, bring in the family. We actually had a lot of fun. It was our anniversary sale, and we had some really, really smoking deals, a lot of them which go on through the end of the month and some even bigger ones through Black Friday. It's FN month. At our store.
I saw that.
So we sell some effing guns at some effing good prices.
Hell yeah.
It was a lot of fun with regards to having them out. They're always some good guys and always leave some swag and things for us. So if you didn't make it, obviously, to the anniversary sale, now through a Cyber Week, if you will, that they call it, instead of Cyber Monday, they seem to keep extending that by days and days.
Yeah, it's like they want you to keep shopping, right?
Yeah, so... But anyways, now through Cyber Week, so essentially through the end of the month, it's effing month, and we have a ton of swag and goodies and all kinds of deals. And one of the big ones that we're not supposed to talk about.
But you should.
But we should.
I know which one you're going to talk about.
I know. It's the FNX 45 Tactical with the Venom Vortex Red Dot Sight, and we had it for how much?
$9.99. I almost bought it that weekend too.
And I mean, you want to talk about a ridiculous deal? That's below normal cost.
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, normally that thing with the red dot's $1,500.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Vortex Venom alone's another $390 or something like that.
So yeah, so it's a smoking deal. We got a bunch of them in for the month to have some fun with it. Of course, you know, if you don't want the red dot on there, we'll take $100 off for you, and we'll keep that $300 red dot for ourselves.
Good Lord. I wanted that one. I stared at it. I touched it, but you guys ended up selling me on a Beretta instead.
Well, you know, speaking of touching it.
Yeah. Well, careful.
You know, you can try it before you buy it at our shop, too. So if you want to come in and try something out before you pick it up, we let you touch it.
That's the way to go, because you don't know if it's going to fit your hand or how the recoil is or just the fit and feel.
You know, half the battle of touching it is making sure it feels good in your hand.
That's right.
The shape.
Yes, and your grip strength, you got to make sure you hold on to that really, really tight.
Yep. You got to make sure the texture is right because you don't want something with bad texture.
No. Not at all. Mm-hmm. Family podcast once again. But with the latest store update, anything else coming up? Any things headed our way?
So as we move into, obviously, Black Friday weekend and getting more into the Christmas spirit as we get closer to December, you know, we have some crazy ammo deals that are going on. And so if you're looking for ammo and you want a good deal on some bulk ammo, definitely come down and check us out. We had at our anniversary sale 9mm as low as $7.98 a box.
Really?
And, of course, we had a lot of other deals with 45 and 380 and 38 Special and 5.56 and 223.
Why were you charging me $14 a box?
Because I don't like you.
I knew it.
I mean,
seven.
We're
bucks.
Honest, Think right? About we're friends. Price. We can be honest with each other,
right? If Walmart sold ammunition, you know,
you know,
be beating them.
It's true, and but they don't, story. So I can beat them in my head. But no. And then as we move into December and wrap up FN month, it'll be Sig Sauer. Demo days will be coming up in December. Ooh. And so if you're a Sig fan, we have a Sig Elite store in our store, and it's a really cool experience to come in and see a store inside of a store and be surrounded by so many Sigs.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, you talk about taking a bath in money, right? Well, at our store, you can literally take a bath in Sigs.
Oh, and I've seen all of the container, or the, what do they call those things? The big
displays.
Display boxes just filled with 1911s, the P365s, the P360s. Even the shortened pistols, the Scorpion, the
And we got the new little sasses for the P365s.
Oh yes,
yeah, and they're just sassy too. They're all like smooth,
concealed carry.
Yeah, they don't snag.
Perfect draw.
Yeah,
you should give me one for Christmas.
I should.
Yes.
Yeah.
You should.
Yeah, well, I'll think about that.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure you will.
What were we talking about?
I don't remember.
I'm sorry. Let's move on.
So. With the store update that we just had, we do have a special guest in our studio, and it is the gunsmith over at DCF. Bubs, introduce yourself to the audience.
Hello. I am Bubs Barrera. I am the lead smith currently at DCF Guns. I also am the secondary trainer over there as well. I handle a lot of all the fun stuff. I do a little of everything at the store. The reason being is we're a small family-type operated business. Safety and education are specific mandates, and that's all we really care about over there.
Yes.
Everyone gets too wound up believing that we are a gun store worried about guns. Our main thing is safety and education. If you are a safe person and fairly well educated, I promise you, you will come visit us more often.
Wow, he made that sound elegant.
You know, he does a really good job with that.
Have you sold guns before?
No, I used to sell jewelry at one point in time.
Oh, well, that explains it.
Well, that's because he's good with his hands and good with ladies.
Oh, you dirty dog, you. He knows what he likes. So
it seemed like a good idea.
So I've actually had Bubs do some custom work for me and a couple of cleanings on my rifles, even painted a giant knife that almost got me divorced, which I never really got to ask you about the process on that one because you gave me a look.
There was far too much oil on it. It was a full carbon steel blade that was almost 3 feet in length. It was a Bowie style. It was a monster.
So was it a knife or was it a sword?
He said it was a sword. I considered a knife.
We price it as a sword.
But yeah, it was ridiculous.
Oh, and he put...
It was a full compensation thing.
I put it in FDE for me so it would match all of my other firearms, and all I need now is a beautiful leather sheath to go with it. But that was solid work, man. The paint. So you guys paint guns? What, you know, give us an idea of some of the things that you can do for folks.
So generally for Cerakote process, there is a lot of process. Let's go ahead and discuss your knife exactly. Generally, when we're going to be coloring a knife or anything like that as far as a base metal is concerned, what we're going to do is we're going to be gassing it out, which means I'm going to be putting it in an oven for about 180 to 240 degrees for a period of time so all that oil soaks out of the pores of that material. Then we go ahead and acetone or TCE that entire material, and then it goes back for a couple processes until it gets done appropriately. After that, then we will either sandblast or we'll put a finish of some kind on it so that the Cerakote can actually physically bite onto and stay on the material. After that, we will clean again. So there's a lot of prep work involved.
Sure.
Generally, there's a lot of tape work, a lot of prep work, a lot of things internalized for that deal. And then after that fact, we will go ahead and spray that finish on it. We'll generally have someone look at it, an alternate individual, to make sure that we don't have any shadowing or anything of that effect. And then after that, we will go ahead and bake it. It is baked into form and processed in between 225 to 250 degrees for about 2 hours. After that, we will go ahead and check it again, make sure everything's on the up and up, and then we will let it cure for a day or two before we actually start assembling or doing anything with it. The reason is because that cure time is very, very necessary.
Really? So same process for firearms then?
Absolutely.
But a little more detailed because you've got a lot to take apart, fine pieces, fine areas, sanding and all that.
So. Absolutely. So generally there's a lot of internal parts, whether it be extractor or ejector or things like that. Some people want them colored. So we will actually have to take that extra time because they're visible at points in time when you open the action, things like that. I've got quite a few firearms on display at the shop where we have colored small things, whether it be the extractor or the mag box or things like that.
I've seen a few of those. So that was you guys that physically did that and didn't come from the factory that way.
No.
Wow.
I will generally do that because, well, I always paint pink things.
Pink things?
Yes.
Okay. We should do something for Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
I did. I've got a current Armalite rifle we're working on. We are offering half price for pink on firearms. So that was the thing. So Gail brought in her AR-15. Wow. So her Armalite rifle, we'll go ahead and paint it pink with a few little accents that she had asked for.
I love that. So let's say I have a Glock and part of it is plastic.
Understood.
What options do I have if I wanted to go from a black Glock 17 to, say, an Army green Glock?
Same process.
Same thing.
We're still going to gas it out, clean it, put a finish on it, generally about a 120 finish, or sandblast it, just so it has some teeth on it. And at that point in time, we'll go ahead and paint it, bake it, clean it up, get it back to you.
It's good to go.
You know, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize, too, is that process that Bubs just went through. You know, when you're talking about getting your firearm or your personal collection of goodies and having somebody else do work on them, whether it be a car or a knife, right, or a gun, you want to make sure it's done right.
Sure.
And there are a lot of places out there that don't go through that process that Bubs just described. And so you'll get it back and you'll be highly disappointed in 6 to 12 months when you start running into finish issues. Mm. And as with anything, I mean, you know, anything, depending on how you take care of it, is how long it's going to last. So scratching it, metal against metal, things like that. Holstering it every day is going to have holster wear. I mean, all that's normal to any finish. But when you're talking about flaking and chipping and things like that, that's generally because the preparation work that Bubs just described was not completed. Which is a really big deal because it comes down to the quality work that you're having done.
Right. Well, prep is everything. Mm-hmm. That's the way to go. What was I going to ask you here? It was just floating in the top of my... So you guys did my RMR cut on my Glock 19X.
Yes, sir.
And you guys dropped my RMR in there, and it came back as the... I could take a measuring tool, and the thing is precise.
Absolutely.
It is amazing.
It is a snap fit. We actually prefer to do a RMR cut in that specific fashion as opposed to how Glock MOS is running. There's a few little problems and issues and things like that going on with it. However, we've always noticed that if we actually machine the slide to the actual optic itself, it is a one-to-one finish or one-to-one deal, and it also makes it run more effectively. There's no G-force happening with it. It definitely makes sure it's running a lot better.
Yeah, I always worry about the shear against the screws. Absolutely. On a lot of those, and man, this thing is just a beast now.
That's what you get when you give those adapters. Mm. So when you have like the MOS Glock or any of the pre-cut, they're pre-cut so that they can generally fit a variety of red dots.
Yeah.
And the red dots, unfortunately, are not all the same size.
And Glock has base plates on those.
Correct. And so what they have to do is they have to use these base plate adapters for each one of the different red dots that it is capable of running. Well, when you do that, you have to overcut the slide in order to fit all those different sizes on there. And so essentially, instead of having two screws that screw directly down into the firearm with no space on either end to move, you have a base plate adapter that's screwed down. And then you also have screws that go through the red dot that are screwed down. So you have two sets of screws and space for it to move around. And so you can get what you're talking about, which is the screws will shear off.
Yeah, and you've got four points of contact instead of two, so there's four places that things can go wrong.
And they do.
They do. Yeah, I'm sure you see it. I'm sure.
Over this last month, we've got, I believe, 6 or 8 cases of that.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, it's people that use their firearm more often in competition shooting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the average person that buys it and uses it every 3 or 4 months for home defense, practicing, things like that, probably not going to notice it.
Sure.
But if you're a guy that goes out and shoots every week or several times a month and does any competitive shooting, you're going to have the problem.
Sure. All those thousands of rounds, it all adds up.
Absolutely. You know, one of the other things, too, is I know we're talking about pistols and some of the modifications, is stippling.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you guys do stippling, huh? Stippling, how do I pronounce that?
Stippling, stippling.
Yeah, whatever.
It gets tomato, tomato.
Potato.
So, what can you do for my Glock if we were to stipple it?
So, well, we can do a few different things. Generally, we've learned that there's a specific finish that works really well for us, which is called Moonrock. Moonrock is just a finish that has 3 specific dots that we apply by hand after we've sanded, cleaned up the frame, done a lot of prep work before we even get into the actual process itself.
I was wondering, because you're using a high-temp tool to get into the plastic?
Generally, yes.
So got to clean the thing off, make sure there's no oils. Again, you're going through a huge prep process, right?
That's generally the thing. It's generally about 4.5 to 5.5 hours worth of time to do it.
Really?
So it is a long process.
Sure.
Most folks do actually appreciate it, and we can actually form the gun to the individual's hand as well.
That's what I was going to ask, because Glock can feel like a block in a lot of people's hands. It's actually turned a few people off.
Absolutely.
So you can get the what do they call it, the beaver, or the area where my
the
meat of my
tang
hand.
The area tang area of the grip.
See, that's why we have pros here.
The tang area of the grip. So most folks leave that alone. Generally, if we're a competition shooter or we're dealing with a rough-handed individual, i.e., a guy that works with his hands, that individual is going to want stipple all over that gun.
Really? Why? So, it's a better positive retention?
Grip. The main thing is everyone gets too lax in shooting. Remember, we're fighting for our lives, or we are in that competition mindset. We are gripping that pistol to the point of shaking and then backing it off slightly just so we can move our finger independently. Once we realize that, we will notice that that stipple, whether it be aggressive or not, will stay in our hands. If we have a slick grip, it will start moving. So you see a lot of people who will re-grip the gun every time. Re-gripping the gun means that everything changes in the process. So remember, just like golf, shooting is no different. You must have the appropriate grip. You must have the appropriate follow-through. You must have the appropriate all the same stuff.
Over and over.
Consistency equals accuracy.
So everybody needs to keep shooting.
Absolutely. At $7.98, $7.98 a box.
You know, you can spend $40 easy in a weekend and have fun.
Piece of cake.
So 20
minutes later.
What kind of rifle work do you... I know we've talked a lot of pistols.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys do for the rifle people? I know that there's sharpshooters out there. There's long-distance people. There's quick and fast style stuff like Patch does over at your store. So what can you do for the rifle folks?
So generally it depends on what the rifle is being built for. Everything has a very specific purpose. There is no one gun that does everything. We've got too many individuals who believe that I need to have that one gun and it's going to facilitate all my needs. It's just not how it works. Lately we've been doing a lot of long-range guns. We've also been doing a lot of work with carbines, making sure that they can be used in the carbine employment class that we have at DCF Guns. Generally, Patch teaches that one. It's an excellent class, very fundamentally based. We generally don't go too crazy with the extra stuff. All we're looking for is fundamentals and understanding how to run that gun appropriately, safely, and making sure that we get the appropriate education, understanding that when we are employing that firearm, we're going to be doing it safely.
So now that we've got all the other stuff out of the way, what is the most fun thing that you have done custom-wise for a customer? And then I want to ask you, what's the craziest things you've seen come in mistake-wise by shooters who need you to fix something?
Before he moves into that, though, because he'll have some stories for you. On the rifle comment, you know, we can do full custom builds. So ground up.
You pick what you're after? You measure
what,
people?
What caliber you want. Yeah, really? We can measure you to make sure that your stock and your length of pull is set correctly. We can do the finish that you want, the barrel tapering that you want, kind of the whole nine yards from start to finish. We can build a full custom rifle for you in whatever configuration you're looking for. Generally speaking, custom builds are going to start around a couple grand, and they're going to go upwards of 7 or 8, depending on how elaborate you want to get. And then, of course, optics on top of that. I mean, if you're going to build a $7,000 or $8,000 rifle, you're probably going to be spending somewhere between 4 and 6 on your optics.
Sure. I mean, what good is the rifle? Because the machine can do anything, but you need something to see what you're shooting at.
Correct. And we built one a couple months ago that Bubs had done with his team back there, and it came out beautiful. We ended up getting almost an eighth of
one
an MOA.
Eighth, 1/8 minute of angle.
Which is almost ridiculous hole inside of a hole.
Absolutely. So what was distance were you getting these? 100 yards? 500 yards?
Yeah, generally you're going to sight it in at 100 to get that minute of angle to figure out how accurate that rifle is. And then, of course, it extrapolates as it goes out for distance. But if you can keep that tighter versus having a 1-inch group or a 2-inch group, which are just going to double every couple hundred yards, you get that quarter MOA, eighth MOA. You're talking about a mile gun.
Holy smokes.
So shooting out, 1,500 meters.
You could hit a thumbtack on a target at 200 yards with ease.
Yes.
Piece of cake.
Piece of cake, he says. Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just, I just want to make sure we put that in there because it's not just coming in and having it serviced or having it painted or having, a free-floated rail put on or, even things like bedding rifles. We can actually do everything from the ground up, full builds.
Wow.
It is a process. It's not a very simple thing to do. Generally, it's going to start with a barrel. Then we choose an action. Mm-hmm. After we've figured out the caliber for the barrel, we're going to choose the appropriate action, action size, whether it be a short or long. Depending on the action, whether it be short or long, at that point in time, we can go ahead and discuss the stock, whether that's going to be a chassis system or if it's going to be a stock.
You haven't mentioned trigger yet. When does that come in?
Way later.
Way later. Why is that?
Because if I can get all of the groundwork done, i.e. the barrel and action trued up perfectly or perpendicular from bore to center line to the front part of the breech face, everything like that, as far as the bolt is concerned, we're going to have an accurate gun. After that, a trigger is going to help you deliver shots on target. However, people get too wound up with having a really light trigger.
It seems to be the thing that everybody harps on. It's got to have a great trigger. It's got to have a great trigger.
It's fine. As long as we have the ability to go ahead and hold true on it,
yeah.
And if we gently press that trigger to the rear, holding it to the rear with the appropriate amount of follow-through, we will get a definitive hit. Everyone gets too wound up thinking, well, if it's got a good trigger, it's going to be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case.
It's barrel and action.
It's going to be barrel, action, breech face, how it interacts with you, how it interacts with the stock.
And then you measure the person up to the rifle? And
correct.
Wow.
We have to make sure that that person is comfortable and has the ability to go ahead and maintain the same position, just like when we're shooting our pistols, if we're doing the same position, we'll stay consistent and accurate.
And the other thing that comes into that, too, is, you know, when you talk about doing custom builds and measuring, you mentioned the stock, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked about length of pull. One of the things that come into that is shotguns. So having shotgun fittings.
Really?
Actually having the offset on the shotgun so that it sits correctly on your shoulder.
Yeah.
It'll make it easier for you to be a better shooter. And so there's a lot of little things that you can do that a lot of people aren't aware of. And, of course, different shotguns have different abilities when it comes to what you can do custom to them.
Sure.
But, you know, a lot of these services, many places don't offer.
Okay.
And we're all in one. We have it all.
All in one house. Yeah, that was the best
thing. It's all right there. So whether you want to build a custom long gun, you want to have a shotgun fit, you want to have some stippling or paint work done, or if you just have a 3-foot knife that you want to carry around. I mean, we can do it. There's nothing that we can't do at our store.
I call them divorce toys every time I get one. She's like, it's going to happen this time. So, wow, I learn something new every day about the custom world. The one thing I do want to ask you, though, is what is the biggest mistake people make that you are fixing? Because I'm sure you've seen some things that just blow your mind.
Generally, the mistakes are going to be individuals who believe that they can take apart a firearm simply and then try to reassemble that firearm. Generally, about once or twice a week, we get what they call a bag of gun. What a bag of gun is generally Ziploc bags full of parts. And my favorite excuse, obviously, is going to be my son took this apart, and,
I took it apart. I have no idea what I'm doing. Help me.
No, I'd rather people own it. Say, hey, sure. I screwed this up. Let's put it back together.
Like a Ruger Mark III.
Ruger Mark III, huh?
Ruger Mark series guns are a little bit on the difficult side, but once you get them figured out, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I see that. We see a Ruger Mark 1 through 4 every month.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's people taking it apart, that's the biggest issue. Have you ever had anybody try to clean a barrel the wrong way and fix that? Because barrel issues got to be like a pain.
Well, we've seen some individuals who have taken them hunting and they've had twigs get stuck inside that barrel, and they'll bring that barrel back to us after they put it in the safe about a year later. Generally,
they're wanting to get it ready for the next hunt season and just left it dirty from last season.
And what ended up happening is generally that twig or whatever that fell apart inside that barrel has rusted it through. And now you no longer have rifling this section in your barrel, which means it's got to get rebarreled, which is a little bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, we run into that with actions too, where, you know, if you go out and you're in a more moist climate and you end up getting moisture inside your shotgun or your rifle. It doesn't take much to keep it clean. It's not like you have to strip the whole gun, and people don't understand that. They think that they have to take everything out. There's a lot of solvents out there, and we sell a lot of them that you can actually spray in there to help make sure and dry up and get rid of some of that moisture. And if you do that and you keep it properly lubed, generally speaking, you can do a quick clean in the spring or fall, depending on season and what you're doing, and go out and do your thing again. But when people bring it back wet, moisture inside their action, you know, debris sometimes, dirt, mud, whatever, depending on where they were, and they throw it in the safe.
Wow.
And while we might have a dry climate here, when it's thrown in the safe and it's locked up in more or less kind of an airtight area, it just sits there and it eats away at the metal.
Absolutely. And then there's moisture in that whole safe. So now you put all of your other firearms at risk too.
Correct.
You have. And we have seen surface issues, especially with people that hunt on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Bring your hunting guns back, throw them in your safe. They have moisture on them. Next thing you know, you go to pull out your Jericho, right, IWI, mm-hmm. and the whole slide finish has almost a batina that's starting, only it's not the pretty kind.
No.
It almost looks like leprosy. So
what is this? What have I done?
It happens all the time.
So is there a product that you recommend when cleaning these things?
Obviously,
and keeping them dry?
We've had excellent luck with Breakthrough. They've been one of our
seen it
individuals that we've trusted the most here. Generally, I'll get it by the 5 gallons because we go through it very, very, very quickly.
Wow.
The reason is because it works very effectively for most everything. Spray it on there, apply it, let it dry. It actually will pull majority of your carbon and also other debris that's inside that stuff to the surface. We generally wipe it off, clean it up again. If it's a product that we can actually put in an ultrasonic, we'll do that for a moment, and then we'll clean it off again and then put it back together and then re-lubricate it for the individual. But obviously for DCOAs and things like that, I try to hit every part.
Sure.
DCOA will break that down for everybody as a disassemble, clean, oil, and assemble. That means that we are taking every pin and spring apart.
Whoa.
At that point in time, we're wiping everything down, making sure that there is no excessive wear, mm-hmm. whether that be on your locking surfaces, on your disconnectors, on your springs, and then we will reassemble and generally do a small test fire to make sure that that thing is working appropriately.
Well, I got a freebie for you, too, because obviously, we'd love to sell you Breakthrough Clean because we use it on our machine guns. We use it on our range guns. I mean, we love the stuff. It works great. From a storage perspective, though, and what we were talking about, any oil will help.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any oil will help. So if you're looking at storing it, yes, I'd love for you to use Break Clean, but at least make sure it's well oiled.
Sure.
And that it doesn't matter whether it's rim oil or anything. The difference that we've found in all the different oils that are out there, and whether it's your rim oils or your frog lubes or your fire cleans or any of them are going to protect your gun from rust. Hmm. The difference is when you go to pull out and use it again, is your gun ready to go, or are you going to have to clean it before you use it?
Yeah.
And that's kind of where you run into that old Russian Cosmoline and all the other packing greases and things that a lot of the government agencies use. Those are meant for long-term storage. And what you'll run into with some of these products is they will actually start to coagulate. They will harden up and create a gel or a grease type.
Varnish.
Yeah. And it doesn't hurt your gun. It protects your gun, but then it doesn't make it so that it's ready to run because it'll be kind of sticky.
Sure. So what... Talking about safes, what should I keep in my safe to make sure moisture isn't a problem? First, don't put a gun in there that's wet. Second?
You know that silica that says do not eat?
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever you get those in packages, just save them. Stick them in your safe.
Okay, so a desiccant, just throw it in the safe? And
yeah, and there's all different kinds of them out there. I mean, there's ones that are electronic that you can recharge by plugging into the wall that dry them out after they soak up any moisture. Some of the safes have plugs inside of them, and you can literally just plug it in inside your safe. Mm. There's ones out there that are stick; they're like look like stick bars or glow sticks, that plug
seen
in.
Those. Yep.
You can put in there. There's also just the bags, kind of like the ones that come in packaging that sometimes have the little do not eat packets in them.
I've seen those, yeah.
But they come in larger quantities, and you can buy those, and they're a lot cheaper that way because you can buy those generally for $12 to $15.
Sure.
And you throw it in there, and it'll last a year or two, and then you can throw a new one in there, and they don't recharge. But there's different ones that you can use, and they're not that expensive. Even the recharging ones, I want to say, are like $30-$40.
A little bit of prevention saves you a lot of money later.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, a new barrel is going to cost you $260 generally for a bolt gun, and then we've got to worry about, well, I got to take it apart, put it back together, and then refinish it.
Which I like because I'm going to bill them for. So, yeah, I mean, I'm happy for those that don't want to take care of their firearms. I am more than willing to charge you an arm and a leg to pay Bubs to do it for you. So if you are one of those people and you don't mind paying for it, please, by all means, continue.
Absolutely. So what does a standard clean service go for? Tell our audience what they can expect to pay.
So generally for just a regular range deal, so if we're shooting on a once or twice a month type basis, obviously we're going to try to clean that gun as often as possible because it's a life-saving tool. What I'd recommend is obviously a quick clean. For those of our members, I believe it's $35. For non-members, it's $40. If we're talking about a DCOA, which I highly recommend once a year, if it is being used on a regular basis, which means it's going to be taken all the way down, every pin and spring, so that we can verify all of your locking surfaces, your springs, all of your disconnectors, things of that effect. If we do that every year, we should have a good functioning firearm for a very long period of time.
I am going to make Bubs a little angry, though, right now.
Why?
Because if you're listening to this podcast, you obviously like us. And let's not lie. It's been a half an hour, right?
Right.
And so if you're still listening to us right now, I think you need something. You need to be rewarded. Sure, and right. And that reward should be half off of either one of those services, either a quick clean or a DCOA.
Oh.
And you just have to let Bubs know that Josh said this was okay, and he'll probably give you a little bit of a dirty eye because he's thinking about me. It's not you. Trust me, it's me.
Why don't we say this? If you heard the podcast, tell them that you listened, and you'll get half off.
Yeah.
We'll go that route.
Yeah, let's do that.
I like that better because now there's incentive to listen.
Yeah, why not?
Absolutely. Anything else that we want to mention happening at the store before we head out?
You know, just our Black Friday deal. Okay. After you're done out running around with the crazies and, you know, you got up at midnight and it's 10 a.m. and you're hitting up Starbucks what's the other ones that are out there? Because a lot of people don't like Starbucks anymore. They're not very pro-guns. So
yeah, they're not.
It's a little bit
Daz
hard.
Dazbog, maybe.
We got Dazbog. Well, you know, like maybe sooner than later here, we might have a Black Rifle Coffee in the store too. So,
ooh, a barista at the store.
You know, we're working on that. Right. But you know, when that pops up and you're caffeinated again and you're recharged and the kids are passed out, you come on into the store and we'll have all kinds of fun stuff for you to play with and demos and some smoking deals on sales. And like I said, that ammo, you're not going to get a better deal.
Right. Mm-hmm. Nothing and says Merry Christmas like a new pistol.
Or no, not
ammunition. Rifle, everything.
Absolutely. And you know what the bigger thing is if you find another deal out there,
yeah,
and you come into our store and you're like, oh, wow, you know, this other place is killing you on this. No, they're not. Because we're going to price match it, and we're going to actually give you something above and beyond.
Nice.
So we're going to get you on the range for free. We're going to make sure and get that deal so that you walk out of there thinking, holy crap, why would I ever go anywhere else?
Right. Well, you guys are number one for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
So hit us with that telephone number, the address one more time.
Yeah, DCF Guns in Castle Rock, 1155 Park Street, 720-515-2006, 720-515-2006. There are options on there for sales, and if you're wanting to specifically get a hold of gunsmithing, you can send an email as well to gunsmith@dcfguns.com. They don't always answer the phone because they're generally working on your firearms.
Yeah.
So make sure and shoot them an email, and Bubs will be happy to get back to you and help you with your project.
Well, guys, thank you so much for showing up today. It's always a pleasure to have you both in here, especially anytime they get to pay me to talk about guns, I do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're going to have to do a live broadcast from the store one time.
You know, we're going to remote down there. We're going to be doing a lot of that very soon here.
Oh, so I love it.
Stay tuned. Maybe we can get some shoots and do some live stuff on the range so people can see how things rock out.
Let's do it.
Let our audience know more. But for DCF Guns, I'm Joshua Hammerling, joined by
Josh Barton
and Mr.
Bubs Barrera.
Thank you for listening, and we will see you all again right here on the DCF Podcast.
This has been a presentation of DCF. For more information on DCF, head over to the website at dcfguns.com. That's dcfguns.com. Or call them at 720-515-2006. That's 720-515-2006.